This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. We're talking about food today. Now, Malaysians are certainly more than familiar with the concept of fusion food within the nation, from noodles of all sorts to banana leaf dishes. However, experiences with food across the borders and over the seas may not be something that most Malaysians have had the chance to savour. While we plan for our voyages across countries, Itomo Food Company brings these nations together at the table. The Californian Japanese casual seafood restaurant is definitely one for kind. And today we have Calvin Goh and Eva Lee to give us a tour of Itomo's journey and rising action from west to east, and mixing these two. Welcome to both of you. I know before starting Itomo, you were involved in another eatery. Tell us about that, Calvin.
Good morning, Frida. Thanks for the introduction. So before starting at Itomo, I spent 9 months at KGB. My brother and his Steven and his wife, Joey, they put their heart and soul into creating this amazing product, and I seriously believe in it. So when they offered me the chance to work with them, I just jumped at it. So we started out by taking half a shop lot in Bangsar, setting up central kitchen, going to Mid Valley, and then my last project was in Tamantun. Mm. Yep. And then after that, we decided it's time. Let's try to do something ourselves.
Okay, so now starting Itomo, it's about a year, right? Obviously that experience helped. How did it then... But it's a different concept, right?
It's a very different concept.
Okay, so what got you interested in starting Itomo, the whole concept behind it?
We've always been interested in food. Actually, that's the passion that drives us. So we know the moment we stop our careers, that's what we want to get into. Mm-hmm. In terms of what the drive behind Itomo is, we wanted to make Malaysians, make available to Malaysians better food, better choices, and better prices. Because Malaysia is a country that has amazing a variety of food because of our vibrant culture and everything. But there are things that are missing. For example, poke bowl just came in last year. Mm. We have, for example, beef tongue and all these ingredients that haven't really been mainstream yet. Mm. And we should be, at the forefront of the food industry, because Malaysians are almost everyone's a foodie here.
Yeah, and we're all open to experimenting. And I want to talk about that beef tongue in just a moment.
Okay.
So this was your experience, both of you, having lived in the U.S. for a while. What did you see over there that you brought into this business?
That's actually a lot, like the poke bowl, mm-hmm, and the spicy beef tongue rice. Some of the fusion things, that because when we were in U.S., we stayed in Little Tokyo. Mm. So Little Tokyo, they don't serve a lot of very traditional Japanese food. It's actually Americanized, just like Panda Express. They serve orange chicken. It's not a traditional Chinese food. Mm. So we just brought it in here, but we don't want to use the word of fusion. So we just twist a little bit. Like we serve something called uni udon. Mm-hmm. Udon is Japanese. Uni, yes, but we use cream sauce to make it a little bit Western. Mm. So it become uni udon is something very different than masako pasta. Mm.
So it's kind of selfish, but what we do at Itomo is we started with all the kinds of all our favorite foods, all the kinds of things that we like to eat, including, for example, we have a chicken tori namban. It's one of my childhood comfort foods. When I was young, we used to eat this in BSC, and that restaurant is no more. Mm. But I remember that menu. I remember that taste, that flavor. So I recreated it faithfully. Other than that, anything else that we like when we travel around the world, we'll just emulate it, innovate, and bring it back to Malaysia.
And you are the guys who come up with the recipes and all that.
Yes.
And both of you have no food experience in that sense.
Besides eating, no.
Okay, so but then you all were just trying out with the experiment and coming.
We love cooking and experience. Yeah, experiment with all the different kind of ingredients.
Okay. Yes. Now the word fusion.
Yes.
It's a bit overrated.
It is, to the point where it's like a dirty word, Like five, ten years ago, if you say fusion food, people would think small portions, high prices, and then right after that, let's go eat mama. But I think within the next few years, it will be redefined. Mm. Because fusion will be leading the way to bring in different concepts, new food, but at reasonable prices. Mm. So maybe 3 years from now, you might think fusion, that's just like another category of Western or Japanese. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my son calling it big plate, small food.
Yes, yes, it is exactly what it is. But it's changed a lot. Nowadays, fusion is big plate, different food.
Different food. Mm. Okay, so in terms of pricing, how do you decide on pricing for the food?
Pricing. When we look at an item, right, we ask ourselves, like, how much are we willing to pay for it? Yes. So, for example, in oysters, we used to pay $1, $2 in the U.S. Mm. Wine used to be $10 to $15. Mm. And then when we got back, we asked ourselves, why is it so expensive? It can go from $15 to $20. I wouldn't eat it. Mm. So when we started to price, we brought oysters in, we did the costing, and we said, if we can somehow limit the wastage as to as low as possible and pass the savings back to the customers, I think it would generate a positive cycle where we can we can sell fast, have zero wastage.
How do you limit the wastage, though? How do you know what's going to be?
This is an art form.
It's an art. And a science.
Eva does it. She's the one who plans and forecasts every week.
Actually, first started, I have no idea. Mm. But because of the prices that we charge us, a lot of people are actually willing to try. Because we don't tell them, you have to order 6 or 12. Even one pieces, you can just come up here, the first floor restaurant, you just stand in front of the bar and just pick 2 pieces and then you just open it and eat it. And then we just charge you like that. We don't force you, you have to take 6 or 12 pieces and end up you only pay less than 20 ringgit for 2 live oysters shot in front of you. Mm. So it depends. Some days like long weekend last year, it's a great, great year. The economy is really good. So I have to order a little bit more.
Okay.
So I have to do the forecast. That means maybe it's end of the month, people spend less or whatever, then I have to order less. Mm. But luckily, the oyster comes in every 2 days by airplane from US. So the oyster is as fresh as, let's example, like maybe today they harvest it. 4 days later, it will arrive in Malaysia. Mm.
And from the airport, it will come in directly. So one of our principles is, because we love this is the food that we like to eat, right? If we can't sell it, we'll eat it. So at the very, very end, there's still going to be no wastage. So imagine if we bring in uni, we bring in trays and trays of uni. She's just going to sit there and eat it if we can't finish it.
And it's for the good of the company, right?
Yes.
I'm minimizing wastage.
Hard work.
Sell it, we just eat it.
It's very interesting. You said that 2016 was a good year, and some people say it's a tough year. Why do you think that was the case? Is pricing?
It's a matter of perspective. Like, I remember listening into a few a la carte sessions. In 2015, you mentioned, times are getting bad. Mm. 2016, times are getting worse. 2017, I think it's probably even worse than that.
Yes.
So if you manage your expectations, you can probably still work something up because people still got to eat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did you decide on the location in Taman Desa?
Oh, it's a very stringent requirement. I needed a place to set up a test kitchen. Mm. And being a lazy person that I am, I picked literally, physically, the nearest possible shop lot that is as close as possible to my house.
Okay. And so that you can basically walk there.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
I can pretty much see it from where I am.
Yes. I always tell my staff, work properly or else I will look at you like that.
So,
yes.
So, and how did you, and it was, you didn't want to do the Bangsas, the Monkiaras and all that. That was really, that was the decision?
When we started out, we weren't very confident in our ability and our, in terms of cuisine, because it's the first time we're actually setting up our own restaurant. So when we rented that place, right, the worst case scenario is we could convert it in the office when we actually expand to other places. Mm. But somehow it managed to stand by itself. We are planning to go into those areas, but we wanted to make sure that it's polished and make sure that we can adjust to the local flavors and expectations. Actually, that's a good point you brought up, because there are a lot of things that we learn from our customers, even within the first 4 months especially. Mm-hmm. One of it is, I'm very proud actually that Malaysians are so much more environmentally conscious compared to Americans, and I actually realize it because of this. In the US, whatever we do, be it fast casual or even fast food, they would use disposables. 100%. And when I tried to emulate the whole poke bowl situation and using paper bowls, recycled material, first questions I get from my customers are, why do you use recycle. Well, why do you use plastic?
Disposable.
Why do you use disposables?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you got us thinking. They didn't like it also. I even got scolded by one of our customers and then learned.
Why do you guys use plastic?
Within a month, we changed everything to ceramic.
Okay, so in that sense, so I mean, you were trying to emulate, but then people were saying, hey, long term, just get a porcelain bowl.
Yeah, yes, because that's just different expectations.
So even the cooking, and your experience from KGB, the style of doing burgers and what you're doing right now is different.
At KGB, I actually wasn't part of the kitchen. I actually never cooked. Mm. We were more in the back end and the expansion side. So when we got into Itomo, we actually had to look at it from the package as a whole, from the marketing to the food to the building construction marketing to menu and all that. So it helped. Working at KGB opened my eyes to the process and the SOPs of doing a business, so we can actually just focus on making sure the food is right.
All right. We'll talk a little bit about the food after this. And of course, we did a spy card of your restaurant. I'll find out more about the beef tongue and the poke bowl right after this. Calvin Goh and Eva Lee from Itomo Food Company. You're listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Bollinger Forecasts Markets, BFM 89.9.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu listening to Enterprise. We're talking about food here. Calvin Goh and Eva Lee from Itomo Food Company. They're based in Taman Desa. They've been around for a year. And they're talking about fusion food experiences they had when they were living in the U.S., California style. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about your food earlier on, the poke bowl, P-O-K-E, not poke bowl, the poke bowl and the beef tongue. And then, interesting, is it beef tongue? And, of course, we had a couple of people who spied on your place. So let's have a listen to that and talk from there afterwards.
We made our way to Itomo in Taman Desa, where parking was available but limited during the peak hours of the day. The restaurant was a flight of stairs up the corner of the building. The first thing we noticed as we approached Itomo was its rejuvenating and refreshing ambiance. Ajar wooden paneled windows on the walls enticed us into the great view outside, a sea of greenery and broadleaf trees. It reminded us of casual forest hikes on a Sunday morning, with the natural lighting from the outdoors inviting us in.
Upon entering, we were greeted in both English and Japanese, which made us feel welcome. We also felt a sense of nostalgia as the room was heavily decorated with retro 80s anime posters, granting the cafe pops of colour and vibrancy.
The seating arrangement of the cafe was well organised and homely, definitely fit for chit-chats with friends or perhaps a casual family meal. Our one gripe, however, was that the music playing from the speakers did not match the overall setting of the restaurant. It contrasted slightly with the tranquil feel of the place.
Our dining experience was pretty pleasant. We ordered the California poke bowl, gyudon plus onsen tamago, which literally means hot spring egg, Belgian car mussels, and the sakura raindrop cake. The California poke bowl was an assortment of salmon, tuna, and butterfish, tossed in a poke marinade with guacamole, crab salad, masago, and spicy mayo. We found that it was the perfect starter and was a good representation of what they had to offer.
Next came the gyudon with onsen tamago, where the prime Australian beef stirred with sukiyaki sauce covered the rice with an onsen egg placed in the middle. It turned out that the dish wasn't as we expected, as the beef wasn't well seasoned and left us much to be desired.
On the other hand, the Belgian col mussels with fries was a nice surprise. Served in an iron cast nabe pot, the juicy black mussels were complemented with a creamy and tangy curry wine sauce. Taking into consideration of the leftovers such as the shell, they offered us a tray to avoid the messiness.
A sphere of clear gelatinous goo may not sound all that appetizing, but the sakura raindrop cake was highly recommended to us, and we were not disappointed with the outcome. In simpler terms, it's just a clear agar-agar with the presence of an edible sakura flower at the center.
Itomo offers set lunch with more than 10 selections available on weekdays only. It comes with a miso soup, green tea, and dessert of the day, which is a fair and balanced combination, especially for the working crowd.
Alongside the interesting and attractive decor, the restaurant exhibits commendable cleanliness in general. Price-wise, it is pretty decent. Each meal ranges from 10 ringgit to 30 ringgit. especially for the fresh live oyster, you can get it as low as 7 ringgit 90 cents per piece. On the other side, the price of sashimi is affordable. GST and service charges are applicable.
We walked out pretty satisfied with the good food. However, we believe that the service had room for improvement in terms of friendliness. Itomo is definitely a restaurant to go to for unique and fresh Japanese seafood with a refreshing and lovely ambiance.
Based on the atmosphere, cleanliness, service, menu variety, food presentation, taste, and pricing, Itomo Food Co. scored an overall of 76%.
All right, pretty interesting there. So they got to try their poke bowl. So that's your hot seller at the moment.
Yes.
And the beef tongue. How do you do the beef tongue?
Do
people really like
they love it?
At the beginning, right? It's one of the goals when we set up the place is to let people try as many new things as possible. So when I'm there, I'm a bit forceful. I'm like, try it, you know. And if you don't like it, I'll change brisket. To brisket for you.
Yes, right. We have and another option.
Thankfully, no one actually changes. So I mean, it's acceptable. It's just something you have to get across that threshold to try it. Yes, and we make it easier by slicing it really thin and using a fragrant spicy chili sauce to wok fry it.
Actually, you know, we'll eat just about anything. Now, we talk about service, right? What's it like? How many people do you have there?
In terms of maximum capacity?
No, in terms of your staff and all that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We have a team of about 8 to 10 people, mm-hmm. and we're building that team up because we're planning expansion soon. Mm.
So, she was commenting, they weren't smiling so much. What are we doing about it?
Actually, so far, nobody really... if you read up the Google review and everything, right? Mm. Service is... not much people complain.
Are you hiring mostly locals? Is that the idea?
We try to hire mostly local. Yes.
Would that be one of the biggest challenges in terms of running the restaurant, finding the right people to work with you?
In terms of the food industry for these few months going forward, maybe even for this year, I think the two biggest ones would be competition and definitely, like you mentioned, manpower. Mm. As most people are aware of that they're actually changing the foreign manpower laws and they're sweeping away all the illegals. There will be a mad rush for workers, you know, for Malaysian workers, for legalized workers.
And what do you see as competition when you say competition? What do you mean by competition?
I guess in every industry, as long as it's lucrative or semi-successful, you will come across competition.
And you will deem competition as someone doing similar, because the corner shop kopitiam is also competition, right?
Yes.
So what would you see as competition?
Because for our cuisine, we actually cover many different areas, from fresh seafood to rice dishes. The main competition would still be fusion and more slightly progressive, modern, traditional Japanese. For Taman Desa, the small little sleepy neighborhood with small, maybe like a 60 shop lots, having 4 Japanese restaurants there.
Ah, I see.
3 of them open shortly, 3 to 6 months after we open. So, that will definitely affect.
We're number one when it comes to copycats. But do they sell similar types of food?
Everyone innovates to a certain degree. So, the food is all different.
Right. Yeah,
and the clear winner is actually the people who live in Taman Desa. Mm. They have plenty of choices. Competition keeps the price reasonable. And, you know, if you slip up, you pay for it.
And so your customers would be people from around the area, working and families around the area.
Yes. Also people who heard about us and wanted to try the seafood, or they would drive from Bangsa, some of them from Shah Alam,
some
just to come down
Klang.
And try. From Klang as well.
Yeah. It's not too far nowadays, because it's the old Klang road.
No, it's the 35, 40 minutes away Klang. Yeah, they purposely came here, 6, 7, I still remember, 6, 7 people, family. They ordered 60 oysters.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of our records. So 6 person, 60 oysters. They purposely drive from Klang.
Okay, to have their oysters. And in terms of the ambiance, who came up with the decor of the place?
Yeah, it's us.
I did the functional design because I'm really bad at overall decor. Mm. So I left it to Eva to take care of it.
Now, recently, we have we tried to rebrand because we don't want people keep calling us a Japanese restaurant. Mm. We don't want them to compare us directly with the authentic one, the traditional one. Mm-hmm. So we rebrand ourselves to a little bit more Western.
Okay.
So
as
California
it should be.
Style. Okay. Yes. So now we take down all the old Japanese poster to try to rebrand all the product and packaging and everything.
Okay, so it's a new look that you're looking at.
Yes.
What about your future plans?
Well, it's good that you asked that. Actually, we have a new project coming up in August. We're going to open in Publica Solaris Dutamas.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a bigger corner unit. The food will be more polished, so we're very excited.
So this is going to be, when you say more polished, what do you mean?
We, as I mentioned earlier, Taman Desa was a test kitchen.
Yeah.
Everything is a little bit more impromptu. We come up with whatever we can think of and then just let people try. In Publica, those dishes have been refined. And when we bring it over, we will add more dishes as we come along. Mm. So depending on the area, the location, what their expectations are, we will adjust and add more dishes that we think that they would prefer to eat.
Okay, and it won't be there won't be a central kitchen out of Taman Desa because each will have its own kitchen, right?
Yes.
That's how it works.
Everything is cooked a la minute, so there won't be a central kitchen.
It's not possible?
It is possible. Like we usually package the sauces and we have cold storage for meats in the future. But beyond that, everything is made to order.
Mm. And you were just saying earlier on that you get your oysters direct from the U.S.
Yes.
Okay, so you ordered them directly from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go through a middle person?
We do.
Okay.
It's much easier to go through a reliable middle person. So, for example, French oysters, fin de classe, we would go through one supplier.
Mm.
And then for U.S. oysters, we'll find another one. We just basically what we do, we source around for the best seafood we can find.
But we only deal with direct people there who import this oyster. Mm. We don't go through
a
middleman. Yeah. So
okay, what made you decide to start number two?
I think that in Taman Desa, there's a limit to what we can do, and in Taman Desa, the expectations for food there is different.
Right.
Like, for example, when we started off, we started a very progressive menu. And as we went along, we realized that some people prefer more comfort foods. Some children prefer, like, udons and noodles. So we added those things in. But in order to go back to more progressive fusion, things that we're going to bring in that's different, we're thinking Publica would be one of those places where they're going to be very open to that.
Okay. You know, I was just saying earlier, when people try to expand, there are many ways of expanding, whether they start, they go into catering or they start a completely new concept, but you want to stick to Itomo, the brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where do you see this brand growing? Lots of Itomos around?
We haven't decided on that, but for Itomo, Publica, if as long as the market can support it, we'll open wherever we can find a good location that can cover an area. But we have so many ideas, and sometimes we wonder whether we should put everything inside one restaurant or actually create different restaurants to cover it.
So we
haven't thought that far.
Okay.
Just one step at a time right now.
Okay, and so there's August to look forward to for the next Itomo in Publica. Thanks for being with us, Calvin Goh and Eva Lee from Itomo Food Company. You've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.